Welcome to Practical Faith, a podcast aimed at offering practical advice on how faith can help us with the complexities of everyday life. Thank you for joining me. I'm Michael Brown, and I have the pleasure of being senior minister at Marble Collegiate Church in Manhattan, a church with a local, national, and global following. I'm glad you're part of it. Today on Practical Faith, we will be discussing Thanksgiving, an annual holiday celebrated every fourth Thursday in November throughout North America. Each year, Thanksgiving comes and goes, and it can bring different meanings to all of us. It may mean finally getting a day or two off from work, the start of a holiday season, special time to give thanks to God for everything you have, being reunited with family, or even a time to celebrate away from family with friends, and so many other things as well. The holidays can be a time of great joy, but for some it can bring up feelings of anxiety and loneliness. I'd like to talk a little bit today about how faith, family, and friends can feed us at any table. There's been a term floating around for a while, Friendsgiving. For some, it is supplemental to Thanksgiving. Some call friends their family of choice, and still others gather together in friendship circles because family's too far away or travel's too expensive. In today's podcast, let's consider how faith can help you enhance your Thanksgiving, whether that means celebrating with friends or family. We hope you find this podcast helpful as you begin your celebrations. I suppose most of us have to begin with what the meaning of Thanksgiving is for us. And for me personally, that's a time to reflect on the life that I have. Not a perfect life, not a life with everything I would dream of or desire, but whose is. However, it's a time for me to, I think, adopt a perspective that's rational and realize that in spite of some of the things that don't always go the way I wish they would, there are so many other things that are beautiful and blessed and that make my life bright, many of which I didn't do anything to earn, they're just there. Thanksgiving is a time to acknowledge that the world may not be perfect, but there's a lot within the world and a lot within my personal journey that's so deeply satisfying, and I need to stop and realize and reflect. Which, of course, leads us to thinking about Thanksgiving as something other than a day. It's a reflection, as I just said, on the whole journey, looking back, looking forward. That which we are is a product of that which we have been, experienced, received, witnessed, and contributes to that which we will become. I don't really think that Thanksgiving can be properly appreciated if we confine it to 24 hours, one day out of 365. You know, Thanksgiving should be in May and July and October. Whenever this epiphany breaks in on me that someone just did something kind, that someone just extended love, that there have always been people, family members, friends, tutors, mentors, who made my life better than it was bad, that there have been people pulling me out of ditches when I fell in, and that there are things day by day, week by week, year in, year out, which make me want to get up the next morning, you know, big things. And sometimes a whole lot of not so big things. And that is probably the primary corpus of that for which I had to be thankful, this accumulation of little things, the unexpected smile, the email I didn't see coming where someone offers a compliment I didn't think I deserved, the taste of food, the sound of music, the presence of people around me, which remind me that whatever journey I'm on, I'm not making it by myself. Photographs. For me, an experience of Thanksgiving is periodically to look through photographs. I keep a lot of old photos in my desk at work, and from time to time I go through them, and it's stepping back into the past and reliving by remembering things that were significant enough that I wanted a picture of them to keep so that it wouldn't go away. My children are grown, but in my desk they're not. And I can still look at them and remember and relive and be flooded with thanksgiving for who they are now, but for those cherished moments that may have rushed past them unnoticed, that were seasoning in my life and that made life better and different. So this process of remembering or living into the moment and experiencing this process of thankfulness for me becomes something that enhances my life and my journey, but it's also an expression of faith. It's an expression of my confidence that I am not the victim of a chaotic world, that there is some force out there that's benevolent and that has provided these things that enrich me. There's some force that gave me relationships, that gave me romance, that gave me children, that gives me ministry, that gives me friendship, that keeps me alive, and I want to wake up in the morning and experience this life. There's some force that helps me wake up in the morning. And therefore, it's a faith thing. And my faith, hopefully, is deep enough and broad enough to remind me that whatever the weather is like on a particular day, I still can be thankful for the season in which I'm living that may not be as rainy as that day is, you know, which is part of what Paul was getting at when he said, give thanks in all circumstances. And sometimes I've misinterpreted that in my preaching to say, even when things are going badly, find something good about it, which is legit. But Paul's words were broader than that. To give thanks in all circumstances means to remember all circumstances, to be aware of all circumstances. And when I'm in a down moment, to remind myself, this is not all the moments. You know, I'm aware of all circumstances. I'm aware of so many things that have occurred and shall yet occur that are bright and blessed and beautiful and exciting and deep and enriching that I can't succumb to this one moment because I have to think of all circumstances, the majority of which are usually quite lovely. So let me circle back to a phrase that I used at the beginning, which is friendsgiving, which is a relatively new phrase for me, though not a new experience. I just learned that there's a name to something that I've lived through and many others do. For many folks, the traditional gathering with parents and grandparents and cousins and aunts and uncles and having the big dinner and the football, which is a wonderful tradition that I've loved so deeply across the years. But for many people, it's not possible. It's just not. We're in one place and they're in another. And therefore, we find other persons who become families of choice, who become the circle of relationships in which we experience life and express thanks. This was not a phenomenon that I lived through on my own prior to moving to New York. But once I got here, most of my family was in North Carolina. And on Thanksgiving, I can't always go there, and they very rarely can come here. So for me here, it's a mixed bag. I always obviously have my wife, Paige, and our younger daughter, Catherine, but there's been any variety of assemblages other than that across the 8 Thanksgivings we've been here, including just the 3 of us. This year will also include Allison, Andy, and their newborn, Anderson. But that's still, Paige's mother won't be here. Our 2 sons won't be here. Paige's brothers and their families. The big collection of us won't be collected. However, I know of other people who will be joining us in our apartment to whom we're not related as in a bloodline, but to whom we're very much related in a love line. You know, they care about us, we care about them, and they're like family. And some are from the Midwest, and Some are from the Southwest, and none of them are going back home, nor are their relatives coming here. So we become this circle. And now I hear that, you know, millennials talk about that, about being in the city and not being able to go back to mom and dad and aunt and uncle and grandparents. But finding community with other people whose lives tell the same story. And so they become family of choice. They become the circle. As long as there are people around us who make our lives feel better and richer and enhanced, we have a reason for being thankful. So we celebrate that and call it Friendsgiving. What a neat phrase with which I didn't used to be familiar at all, like I said, by name, but I was by experience. Someone asked me, does it always have to be either or? And as I just mentioned, obviously the answer is no. For us at Thanksgiving, it's both and. We have some family. We have some friends. We have one unit, which I think will be really special. In fact, the friends who will be coming, there's always the element of surprise. They bring their whole lifetime of Thanksgiving traditions and perspectives that may not have been ours, you know. And things may occur, things may be said, old traditions may be introduced, which are brand new to us, so that the part of our family that's present will be enriched by this broader circle of folks who are like family, but have come from different places and different perspectives. I think sometimes that makes it all the better. You know, we bring what we are to the table, and others bring what they are to the table, and it's a more colorful table. And ultimately, our faith is the centerpiece at that table. All of us, whether related by blood or by love, all of us are gathered on that day, at that place, at that time to say, we have a lot to be thankful for. And the faces we look at around the table are part of that. You know, whatever community means for us, the ones that we want to be with, you know, make our lives brighter and deeper, and give us reasons for being thankful. And that's a faith thing, because being thankful means expressing my gratitude too. It doesn't just mean feeling it. You know, you can't be grateful to nothing. You know, you're grateful to something. For people of faith, it's to someone. We look around this life, you know, on Thanksgiving, again, specifically, or Friendsgiving, or the morphing of both. We look at the table, and there's the food, and there's somebody behind the food who raised it and delivered it, and there's the house, and there's somebody we don't know who built it, and they're the friends, and they're the family members who are gifts to us, and who just suddenly appeared in our lives, and then life became something different and better than it had been before. And if you take it into full account, you find yourself saying, this is great. You know, how beautiful is this? The world's not perfect, but this moment is absolutely fantastic. And you have to say that to someone. And for people of faith, the someone is God. We call it praise, acts of praise. We say to God, thank you. This is terrific. In this moment, I realize that I am blessed. And therefore, Thanksgiving becomes exactly that, not just the experience of thankfulness, but the expression of it. So, another question or idea that crosses my mind sort of at the conclusion of this whole thing about Thanksgiving, Friendsgiving, circles of love, and looking back at what we thought about earlier about Thanksgiving not just being a day, a time. How do I keep it going? I just said that I am profoundly aware of what is given to my life when I look around that table. And on that day, I'm not just aware of what's given to me that day. We gather on that day because I'm celebrating that which I experience, that which I receive, that which is my blessing 365 days a year. And I'm able to look at it, to look at them, to think about that and say, life is good. I am grateful. I am blessed. How do I contribute to that? Hopefully, that inspires within me an awareness of the importance and a commitment to being the sort of person to others that will make them be thankful as they have just made me be thankful. You know, on Thanksgiving, I am aware of what they bring to my life year-round. I want them to look across the table and be aware of what I bring to their lives year-round. We're not just gathering for Michael Brown's Thanksgiving. We're gathering for the Thanksgiving of all the people in that setting, all the people in that circle. And as they contribute to me, so must I contribute to them. This is a faith statement. This goes back to the very earliest traditions of our Judeo-Christian heritage. Ours has always been a faith of covenant, a faith of connectedness, a faith where God asked me to honor something in relation to God, and therefore God honors in relation to me. God asked me to honor in relation to others, and they honor. That's what the commandments were about. You know, this is how you shall live with other people, and therefore you can expect them to live this way with you. So what about Thanksgiving? If others make me thankful, I should make them thankful. If I sit down on that Thursday with turkey and dressing and football and think about, here's somebody that I've been able to trust with my deepest, sometimes most painful, rawest emotions, and they took care of it for me. I want others to be able to say, I can trust Michael with my emotions. He'll take care of it for me. Here's somebody that's brought laughter to me. I want to bring laughter to others. Here's somebody that I probably hurt at some point in the past, and the relationship was important enough to that person, they forgave me. I want others to know, no, he doesn't carry grudges. He doesn't just carry some chip on his shoulder because I offended him once. He's forgiven. The relationship means to him. I want to mean to others what they mean to me so that when Thanksgiving comes, somebody will be thinking of my name too. So, when we're away from home, and hundreds of miles perhaps separate us from traditional family, and we need one of these families of choice, what do we look for? And especially, how is it that our faith tells us what to look for, who to look for? Whereas in Marble Church, for example, we're not exclusive. We don't shut people out. We don't categorize. In my own personal relationships, there are people I need to strengthen me at points where I'm not always strong. So I think there certainly has to be a balance in assembling this family of choice. Others will choose me for what I bring to their lives. I need also to choose some others who bring something to my life. I don't necessarily need to be out choosing friends that I think I can fix, because then I become a classically codependent. Those people will find me. People who need me will find me, and hopefully I'll be there for them. I need, in developing my circle, to find people who meet needs that I have, needs for the shattering of loneliness, needs for being able to unload emotionally and vent and share in a setting of absolute confidentiality and trust, needs for fun. You know, sometimes I need people that are just fun because I work, as does everybody who's listening to me at this moment. I work, and sometimes when you walk away from that, you need to restore your soul, which means you need to have somebody you can laugh with, somebody you can be real with, even when real is silly. I need people who bring to my life that which strengthens me, trusting that others who need me to strengthen them will find me. They always do. So, what does our faith say? It says love your neighbor as yourself, meaning that when there are neighbors who need us, we're open to them. But it does say love your neighbor as yourself, meaning that we love ourselves too. And when we have needs, we're not embarrassed to find people who can help address them and make us more whole. Now, that doesn't answer sort of a bottom line fundamental question, which is, what about being homesick? How do we deal with the feelings of sadness or missing out on our own central family or traditions when they're far away and we can't get to them? Part of the answer to that is simply being honest that we are missing out, and not to live in denial and not to think that one circle of relationships makes another circle dispensable or unimportant. They just don't. There are, however, specific concrete ways that we can deal with that. It may not be quite as satisfying as getting on the plane and flying home and going to grandma's house and hugging all the family. But there are ways to deal with that. And in our particular age, with all the information technology at our disposal, anyone on a specific holiday when you can't be home can Skype home. You can talk to the people. You can exchange phone calls. You can exchange emails, you can do FaceTime on your cell phone, you can do Skype on your laptop, you can see those whom you are heartsick because you don't think you'll see. Well, yeah, you can. You might miss the hug, but you won't miss the face. You know, you'll be involved with and connected to loved ones in a real-time, visible way, and that is a vast improvement on what would have been the case for people 10 years ago in New York when their loved ones were in Arizona or Wyoming, you know, and you'd have gotten a phone call. But now you can see them, and now they can see the grandbaby, and now we can see what someone has just cooked for the family, and they can tell us how wonderful it is, and we can wave at one another. We can be present in the best way that we can be present. And that's a far better option than not being present. Thank you for joining us today on Practical Faith. With Thanksgiving and the holiday season approaching, we hope you take the time to enjoy your loved ones, both family and friends, and show your appreciation for one another. And may God watch over you as you do so.